Talk.
Geek Out.
Geek Out.
Hello, this is the RNIB Technology for Life team, and today I have my friends and colleagues with me, Madeline and Mohammed, and I'm Paul. Today we're going to talk about the Amazon Echo, which is one of the biggest talking points at the moment as far as technology gadgets are concerned. I myself have an Echo, and my colleagues can see the benefits, but we're not quite convinced, so we thought we'd have a little chat about what it is and what it does, and you can then make your mind up about whether the Echo is indeed for you as a gadget for the 21st century. So, anyone like to start? Got some questions, comments?
Well, first of all, I think it would be helpful for everybody to get a clear understanding what is the Echo and what is the difference between the Echo and the Echo Dot.
Great. So the Echo and the Echo Dot work in exactly the same way. The Dot is smaller than the Echo. The Echo is, they're both cylindrical. The Echo has a better speaker, it has quite a nice bassy speaker. The Dot has a nice, almost like a transistor sounding speaker. And with the Echo Dot, you can plug it into stereo, hi-fis, etc. With the Echo, the larger unit, you can Bluetooth to other speakers, but you can't plug anything into it, or you can't plug it into other devices. So what does the Echo do? The Echo devices are purely voice controlled. There are some buttons for switching the microphones on and off and setting the unit up. But when you're using it every day, you say the magic word Alexa, then you can ask it questions. You can ask it, for example, who's the Prime Minister of France or who's the President of the USA. You can ask it, for example, what's the population of Italy. You can ask it all sorts of interesting questions about the Earth. You can ask it trivia questions. You can play some games on it. You can have fitness workouts. You can play radio from various radio apps that are available on other platforms. So you can say, for example, Alexa, play BBC Radio 4, or Alexa, play RNIB Connect Radio, and it will go off and play those stations for you.
And can you just say something about the price differences as well?
Yep,
so everyone is clear.
Prices will vary depending on special offers and where you buy it. The cost is roughly £149 for the Echo, and for its little brother, the Dot, is £49. I think the way technology is going in terms of voice activation, you'll be able to control your car or your washing machine or your TV or whatever it might be just by voice. And Alexa feeds into that with the Echo because you can ask Alexa to control different devices if they are smart enabled. So, for example, one home electronics company is building Alexa capability into some of their products. You'll be able to say, set my washing machine to, you know, 40 degrees, wash, you know, woolen, whatever it might be, or set my oven to 180 degrees for half an hour, or turn my lights on, or, you know, dim the light. So voice control is going to be really big, and the Echo is just one of a number of devices that will feed into that system.
You say there's a number of devices, Paul. So, for example, a smartphone, say, for example, Siri on an iPhone, that will do more or less exactly what an Echo can do. So why would you buy an Echo if you've already got a smartphone?
It's a really good question, Mohammed. And my wife, who is also blind, she uses a computer and she likes music and radio and so on. And, you know, she can use the computer. But when I got the Echo, and I think like all of us around the table, we're guilty of buying products that we might use for a little while and then stick it in a cupboard and don't use it again because we like gadgets. But when I got the Echo, she said, this is great because I can sit in there. I just have to ask it to play music or play a radio station. She can find out the news, the weather. And it does sound a bit odd when you first talk to it. You think, I'm talking to a machine, this is ridiculous. But once you get used to it, it's actually quite intuitive. And you don't feel bit of a fool doing it. You know, it's actually okay. You're right, you can do exactly the same things with Siri on an iPhone or Google Talk on a on an Android device. I think, you know, voice recognition is just going to be seamless. It's going to be built into lots of products or products that you can add little adaptations to make them voice activated. So I think, you know, we'll probably have less hang-ups about it in the future.
The thing I like about it is that you can get the skills. So I was, when it first came out, I was saying things like, God, I wouldn't buy this. It's not for me because, frankly, I can do everything with my smartphone. But the more people talk about it, the thing what got me a bit, where I thought, I think I want to buy it, which is a selling point, is when people say, oh, you can just say, order me this and these things from Amazon. And I thought, you know, there's no quicker way of ordering something from Amazon. It will even go through your order history and say, you have ordered these before, Madeline. Do you want them again? And it sounds quite handy for, you know, not everybody wants to go through certain steps on the phone to do the same.
What would happen, though, if you had an item in your order history and you wanted it delivered to a different address?
Yeah, I mean, it's early days, and I think so that I don't think would be possible. You'd have to have it delivered to your own address.
Yeah.
But, you know, voice recognition is getting so good now. I think that's going to be possible in the future. And Alexa with Echo and the other similar product at the moment is Google Home, which isn't available in the UK yet. Hopefully that'll be available this year. So on these different platforms, you know, I'm sure you'll be able to order your shopping from your favourite supermarket, or you know, with the Echo, you can. There's an app called Just Eat that you can get on smartphones and tablets, so you can order your last, repeat your last order, or you can say, you know, Alexa, ask Just Eat, where's my food? And it'll tell you, you know, your food will be delivered in 20 minutes or half an hour.
That is actually quite nice.
So, you know, the technology is kind of in its infancy. But, you know, just imagine that you just talk to a thing rather than, you know, picking up a device with a screen. You can also buy a little remote control where you press a button and you don't have to use the magic wake-up word Alexa. You just say, so instead of saying Alexa, play BBC Radio 4, you would say, press a button and say, play BBC Radio 4. And if you feel a little bit inhibited, then you can speak more quietly to it, and it sends that voice command to the Echo. It's also great if you're playing an album on the Echo, because you can, instead of saying Alexa, next track, or Alexa, previous track, you can press the right arrow to move forwards or the left arrow to move backwards through your tracks, which makes it, you know. So, you know, you can... my wife and I have a great game where we try and find obscure music. And it's been pretty successful so far. You know, so you can just have an album and skip through it as you would a CD, and you don't have to get up and change the CD every half an hour or so. Mm.
But you need an app for your smartphone for Alexa to be set up in the first place.
That's right. You can either do it through an app on the smartphone, which is, to be honest, at the moment, at the time of recording, a little bit sluggish. But you can control it via a PC. Once it's set up with your details and your Wi-Fi and so on, then you can pretty much just do it by voice. And you can also enable the different skills, if you know the name of a skill. So, for example, this is a skill for National Rail Inquiries, so you can say enable National Rail Inquiries. Mm. Then you can check you put in your starting station and your destination station. So you can say to Alexa, check my commute, and it'll tell you about the next three trains that are running or not running, as the case may be. And you can also ask it for other journeys in the UK as well.
And can you carry it around the house, or does it have to be plugged into a central location?
It plugs into the mains, so it has a USB connector, so it runs on mains. You could, if you have one of these battery charging devices you might have for your smartphone or tablet, you could run it off of that, but it is really designed to be on the mains. But we've got a dot in the kitchen and a dot in the lounge, and so, you know, you can be washing the dishes or whatever, cooking, and you just say, you know, play Radio 4 or play Insight Radio, or, you know, you play your audiobook if you're a member of Audible, for example. So, you know, you can interact without touching it, which is great.
Let's go a bit more about the music demand, music on demand stuff for the Echo. The fact I don't like about it, but I mean, it's a thing in development at the moment, and you never know what we will see. But at the moment, it only works with certain music on demand suppliers. So if I were to buy an Echo, then I would need to get away from my current music supplier because it doesn't support the Echo just yet. So were you a Spotify user before you got the Echo, Paul?
I was. So at the moment, and again, I think it can change quickly. At the moment, it runs with Spotify Premium. But of course, you can have Spotify on your smartphone or tablet or your computer as well. So you can run it on as many platforms as you have. It also runs with Amazon's basic Prime music service, where you've got something like 2 million tracks. Or again, you can pay a subscription for Amazon Unlimited, where you've got 40 million tracks of music. Whether or not Apple, you know, would want to be on that same platform, I don't know. But it's always possible, but they may want to stick to, you know, just having Apple on Apple devices.
If, for example, you don't have an Amazon account, how would you get a hold of an Echo?
It's available from shops and online ordering.
QVC sells it.
Yeah, as an example. You can set it up, I think, without an Amazon account, and then you would have access to things like TuneIn Radio, which is an app for smartphones and tablets that gives you radio from around the world. There's also the UK radio player that you can enable. You can have music from Spotify. I think more and more services will join the Echo system as it develops. So, you know, it's early days, but for me, you know, it was a bit odd to sort of give instructions to this little box at the other side of the room. But once you get used to it, it actually feels quite inclusive, it feels quite intuitive, and usually it does what you say. Sometimes you have to repeat the question or phrase it in a slightly different way, particularly if you're trying to access, you know, weird and wonderful music. But it, on the whole, you know, it works really well.
And Madeline, you don't have an Echo at the moment. What's stopping you from buying one?
I kind of think that I can do everything I want to do with my smartphone. If I want to order something on Amazon, nothing stops me from doing 5-6 clicks and ordering something. And if I want to play a track, then I can just say play so-and-so by so-and-so, and it goes off playing it. So I didn't quite see the need to spend yet more money to have one more device in the house. And it's also the aspect of me sitting in front of the family saying, Alexa, do this and that.
Well,
it's a little bit odd.
I think the kids would love it because, you know, my little grandson is 9. You know, he goes in and just says, Alexa, play, you know, whatever it might be, his favourite track. So I think the kids would love it. And I think it's the way things are going. I think, you know, in 5-10 years, we'll be talking to devices just as if I'm talking to you and you and Madeline. So, you know.
Yeah, but I must admit that there was a moment, I think about 4 or 5 weeks ago, when somebody sent round a little demonstration of ordering something from Amazon, and that got me thinking, and I thought, well, I think I should buy one.
I mean, I think it's early days for that kind of thing, but, you know, it'll get better, and I think people, you know, will embrace it, whether it be the Echo or the Google Home or whatever other devices come up in the future.
What sort of puts me off is that when you say you can sort of control your washing machine and your lighting and all that kind of stuff, it'll just make me incredibly, incredibly lazy. Really?
No, you're supposed to do the workout while you speak.
Exactly. But, you know, we could have said that in the 70s when they invented remote controls for a TV.
Correct.
You know, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Fair point. But
I know what you're saying. But, yeah.
Yeah.
But it means it means you know the lights are off, because it will say, you know, lights off. Or I've got it connected to a lamp with a smart plug, and the smart plug in itself is able to turn on at sunset, and then it goes off at 11 o'clock. But in the meantime, I can get Alexa to turn on the lamp if we need it on at a different time. You just say, Alexa, lamp on, and you get a little click, and the lamp's on. Alexa lamp off and it goes off.
So you can see this is really useful because I have no sight at all and I forever wonder whether the lines are on or off. So
you know, in a few years' time, everything in the house will be controlled by smart devices and voice or apps on your tablet or your phone. So
yeah, I mean, you've got things like the Hive app where you can control your heating remotely.
And you can connect that to Alexa too.
Yeah, yes. You know, it's got lots of potential. And I think we have to, you know, and it is quite fun, particularly trying to give it, you know, weird and wonderful questions. Or and sometimes it can be a little frustrating. It'll say, don't know what you're saying, or, you know, kind of, I haven't got that information. But it's a great step forward. And it means that technology for Blind and Partial Sighted people is getting closer to being, you know, accessible by everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So whether you're visually impaired or sighted, we're using the same type of technology, which can only be good.
I must say, this is a quite lovely experience to have. The other day I met a friend and I said, oh, you know, I was talking to a customer about the Amazon Echo. I don't know whether you know about this. Oh, yeah, I've got one sitting at home. And I'm thinking that's a quite nice discussion to have. I'm speaking to a completely sighted person. And she's saying to me, oh, yeah, I've got one at home. And I don't feel weird for using technology. You know, we all use the same technology. And that is something I really love. So,
and we've got, you know, we've got exact same experiences with smartphones and tablets and other devices that everyone's using now, which is great. And, you know, to have something accessible out of a box, it's just great. And it used to be quite exciting and, you know, but now we almost take it for granted that that kind of thing is going to be usable, and you know, so far so good.
So how would you set up Alexa or the Amazon Echo, sorry, if you don't have a smartphone or you're not a smartphone user, you don't have a tablet or anything? How would you set it up then?
On the computer,
you need it on a computer that there's an address, alexa.amazon.co.uk, you go to and it finds your device and you set it up with your Wi-Fi and so on, and you know, so it's fairly straightforward. Actually, I was looking this morning and some sort of general techie people were saying it's actually easier to use the PC than it is to use the app to set it up because it's a little bit flaky. To be honest, I haven't had too many problems setting it up with VoiceOver on the iPhone. It was a little bit sluggish, but it worked. But, you know, it's fairly usable. And, of course, if people decide to go for one, then we've got the NAB volunteers who may be able to help you set it up if you haven't got anyone who can do that for you.
And you can ask our Technology for Life team, and we are more than happy to guide you through the instructions or through the, you know.
So absolutely, we can talk to you about what it does, where you get it and so on. Probably a good note to end on. So you can contact the Technology for Life via the NAB helpline on 0303 123 9999, or you can email tfl@rnib.org.uk. So thanks to Mohammed and Madeline for this interesting discussion, and we'll speak to you soon.
Tech Talk.
Geek Out.
Geek Out.